It's Just Politics. I'm Zoe Clark.
And I'm Rick Pluta.
And Rick, I have a really great idea for this week's segment.
Actually, Zoe, I think it was someone else's idea first.
So I'll take a lot of credit.
That's our cheap setup for the fact that Mitt Romney paid a visit to Michigan this week.
He held a campaign event at Lansing Community College.
Prior to hitting ground here in Lansing, Romney gave an interview to an Ohio TV station where he said President Obama really followed his plan, the Romney plan, for the bailout of the auto industry. And Romney says he still did it poorly.
And there's the disconnect. Was the bailout bad or wasn't it? Well, Governor Rick Snyder, a Romney supporter, says it's time to just stop talking about it.
I think too much time spent on the whole bailout question. It worked. It's done. It's over with. There are other ways it probably could have been done. But the point is, it's successful.
So move on. There's nothing more to see here. Let's change the subject. And this speaks to the sometimes awkward dance between governors and presidential candidates when they are from the same political party. So Rick Snyder is telling people things are looking up.
Now, if you look at where we're at, we're the comeback state in the United States today.
The comeback state, outpacing the nation in job creation, happy days. And Mitt Romney?
Now, these last few years have been hard on the people of Lansing, and frankly, they've been hard on the people of America.
Yeah, not so much hearing that relentless positivity there.
This guy's harsh and my mellow.
Rick Snyder does say, you know, of course, that more work needs to be done, that Washington needs a healthy dose of what's working in Michigan, but that's not Romney's message.
Right. Where Rick Snyder says life is good and getting better, Mitt Romney says you're worse off than you might have been. It's not good, and whatever might be good is going to head south without some change.
This dichotomy isn't new, though. In the 1990s, the economy was booming. John Engler was the Republican governor of Michigan. You know, Bill Clinton, the Democratic president. And when it came to that success...
I'll take a lot of credit.
That voice.
That voice.
You know, credit for... A good economy wasn't a problem for Governor Jennifer Granholm. With George W. Bush in the White House, the economy was bad, and it became mutually assured political destruction. We saw that by the time both of them left office, Bush in 2009, Granholm on January 1st of 2011, they were both pretty unpopular.
And I guess that speaks to a few things. You know, one of them is people seeking office, of course, will cast a lot of blame for the bad, and then they'll, you know, lay claim to the good. But there are really a lot of things outside their control that will decide the state of the economy and the state of their popularity.
But that does not mean they won't pretend they're managing events unless it's in their interest to do otherwise.
So, you know, Rick, we saw Romney here. I mean, does this mean that Michigan is in play? The state, of course, hasn't voted for a Republican for president since 1988 with George H.W. Bush.
George Herbert Walker Bush.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zoe, Michigan does elect plenty of Republicans statewide. We are not a monolithically blue state. We have Governor Snyder, Attorney General Bill Schuette, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson. But Michigan does still seem to be in that second tier of states that are potentially competitive, but not yet battleground. So Republicans will be eyeing Michigan to see if they can make it a battleground. If they can take Michigan, a lot of people say that's game over. But failing that, even because Michigan is competitive or might be competitive, Republicans are hoping to at least force President Obama to spend time and money here that might otherwise be sent in, say, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Colorado.
But it's not just the state, then. There seems to be a fight over, you know, the so-called Michigan story.
Right. Not the state's 16 electoral votes,
right,
but how the recovery of the auto industry has played out. President Obama has a one-minute ad airing in 9 states. Michigan is not one of them. But the recovery of the Detroit auto industry is a big part of that message.
And today, our auto industry is back, firing on all cylinders.
The president seems to like to come to Michigan so he can tell that story. He wants to shout it out to the rest of the country.
Which, interestingly enough, sounds a little bit like a certain nerdy governor that we know.
Doesn't it? And by the way, you will never hear Rick Snyder bash Obama. He may kick some dirt on Washington's shoes, but he never directly criticizes the president. At the Lansing visit this week, the job of attacking Obama fell squarely on Mitt Romney.
And I sort of wonder whose idea was that.
I'll take a lot of credit.
Well, I guess we know.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some credit where it's due.
Meanwhile, at the state capitol, the state Senate acted on the long-awaited package to start the rollback in tax.
It's a tax that the state levies on business and factory equipment. And few other states have it. No other state in the Midwest does it exactly like Michigan. And a lot of manufacturers say it makes us very uncompetitive when it comes to attracting that kind of investment. There are a lot of details. It's very wonky, but there are political implications, tax policy. The way that the plan was originally set up, Zoe, it might have caused some local millages to go up, and the industrial property tax, it's called the personal property tax, provides a lot of local governments with money to cover bond payments. And Democrats, their mantra last year and this year has been Republicans are giving tax breaks to businesses and shifting more of the burden for paying for all kinds of stuff to individuals. And so the Senate changed it so that these bond payments are covered. They tried to make some guarantees that after local governments lost a certain amount of money, that the state would start to reimburse them. And that improved it for a lot of people. And now it goes
right
to the House.
It goes to the House. You know, the group of 110 people, most of them Republicans, who are up for re-election this year. Is this something they're going to want to touch?
Well, as a matter of fact, House Speaker Jace Bolger, sensitive apparently to those charges that all of this tax relief, quote unquote, has been going to businesses, wants to add a little individual tax rollback to the mix, probably the income tax. Now, this won't get done before the legislature takes its summer break in a little bit more than a month. But I suspect that Republicans who are on the ballot might want to get that individual tax, that individual tax rollback taken care of in time for them to use it in the November elections.
So let's talk this out a little further. What position does this put Democrats in? So Democrats most likely want to vote against the personal property rollback. But if we see some type of, you know, what's called a sweetener that they would, you know, change an income tax, it's sort of hard for Democrats then to vote against that.
Oh, sure. I mean, we've seen this time and time again that the Republicans will try to box the Democrats in to either force them into supporting the personal property tax, this industrial property tax rollback, or force them to vote against an individual tax cut, an income tax cut, something like that. And then, you know, they'll sort of try to call them on that when Democrats complain about this trend of tax breaks going to businesses, but not to individuals, to people, to families.
Right. Interesting position it puts them in.
We will see some posturing on this.
No, from Lansing posturing?
What they do.
Let's talk about this story going on right now. Representative Lisa Brown making headlines, at least the insidery headlines. What's going on here?
Lisa Brown is a Democrat from Oakland County, and she got drawn in the redistricting process. She got drawn into a pretty Republican district. She decided that she's going to run for Oakland County clerk against a Republican incumbent. And we should point out, this is not an inconsequential office. The Secretary of State Ruth Johnson ran for that position from the job of Oakland County clerk. Terry Lynn Land was a county clerk over in Kent County when she first ran for Secretary of State. So it's a big office regardless, but the office can also take you places. Anyway, there's a former staffer who says she was fired by Brown. Their relationship soured after the staffer got pregnant during a campaign year. Brown may or may not have said some inappropriate things. Anyway, the staffer was fired, and the story broke because a Republican state senator from mid-Michigan,
Rick Jones.
Yeah, held a small news conference with the staffer to outline these allegations of discrimination against a pregnant woman.
Which got us thinking, is this some type of revenge from Jones because, of course, what happened with the infamous hooker comment?
Lisa Brown was one of the Democratic women who lambasted Jones when he referred to a Lansing female public relations executive as a hooker, or being like a hooker because she takes clients for money. So we may be seeing just a little bit of retribution here.
You were at the House, on the House floor, when a reporter went to go ask Brown about what this former staffer was saying, and her reaction was sort of interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, after this news conference, a reporter from the Detroit News approached Brown to try and ask her about it. She walked away. He followed her. She called the House sergeant at arms. It's basically the security people on the House floor, and had him escorted back to the press area. And then she basically went into hiding, that, you know, she stayed far away when the session ended. She had the House sergeant at arms escort her so that she was basically shielded from any questions. And to this day, she hasn't responded to the allegations made by that staffer.
Speaking of another Democratic woman, a TV news report came out this week that alleges that Michigan Supreme Court Justice Diane Hathaway engaged in some sketchy real estate transactions. WXYZ sure made it seem like what she was doing in order to have one of her four homes go into short sale was not above board.
Yeah, the WXYZ report, Channel 7 in Detroit, said that she transferred homes into the names of her stepchildren in what may have been an effort to hide assets from the bank so that she could get the bank to agree to a short sale on her home in Grosse Pointe Park. And the bank agreed to the short sale, may have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments on a pretty expensive home. And the report itself is pretty damning. It shows, you know, that XYZ says that they spent 6 weeks trying to get a comment out of Justice Hathaway. At one point, the reporter goes up and approaches her. She's sitting in her car, and she just drives away. And boy, it just looks bad.
How bad was it?
Well, if there is anything to this, there could be legal inquiries, civil actions, criminal investigation. That's certainly not good for any judge, let alone a Supreme Court justice. There could be a judicial ethics inquiry, and that would certainly be a big deal. And that would raise, Zoe, a really interesting question about who gets to decide if a Supreme Court justice is guilty of an ethics violation, because ultimately those cases, when a judge is accused of something like that,
go to the
Supreme Court.
Right. So then the question is, well, would she recuse herself? But she doesn't have to if she doesn't want to, right? Isn't that what the law
says? We don't know how this would work. It's even though we have had cases of justices, you know, very rarely being removed, that we don't know what would happen if it actually came down to that and how it would work. By the way, this is also taken on something of a partisan tinge, that the court's majority is Republican, and the Chief Justice of the court, Robert Young, has called on Justice Hathaway to clear the air, come forward, explain it publicly. But so far, she has been silent.
So let's talk about what this then means for the court's upcoming elections in November. Like you said, she is not on the ballot, but it is a very partisan court. You know, here in Michigan, unlike a lot of states, justices run as either a Democrat or Republican. So is this going to hurt Democrats who are up in November?
Well, boy, that certainly remains to be seen. That, you know, these judicial races, these Supreme Court races tend to fall a lot along party lines, even though technically on the ballot they're listed as nonpartisan candidates. They're still nominated by the political parties, that they're backed by the interests of those political parties, and the political parties themselves spend a lot of money on these campaigns. And they tend to be ticket races. So, you know, one could predict that if any Democrat on the state Supreme Court runs into trouble, whether or not they're on the ballot, It could affect the efforts of other Democrats running for the court, and there are three seats up for election this year. It could conceivably affect their chances come November.
Also, this week we saw that State Representative Rick Olson, a Republican from Washtenaw County, will not seek a second term. Now, he has a new district. Mm-hmm.
He has a new district, and even though Republicans are in charge in Lansing, I guess there are just so many GOP incumbents that they just couldn't draw a district for each one of them. And so Rick Olson got drawn into a district that was bad for him, just as, you know, we said earlier, Lisa Brown was drawn into a district that was bad for her. Olson wasn't coy about the fact that he was toying with running as a Democrat in this new district. And then actually that incensed a lot of Democrats. They said that he wouldn't be welcome in the party. His voting record is actually pretty conservative. So it looks like he decided the writing was on the wall and just opted to hang it up.
Well, Rick, it is also Friday afternoon, so it's time for us to hang it up as well.
Zoe Clark is the resident political junkie at Michigan Radio.
And Rick Pluta is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network.